The story starts on a very hot day, July 5th of 2013, at Johnson & Hardwick Dining Center at Temple University. It's where Albert Lever was working at the time. He was 24, just fresh out of college, unsure what he wanted to do next, working a couple of jobs, and this was his early morning gig.
I was probably here at like 6:30 in the morning. I was basically like production manager, so I was in charge of like all the ordering of the food, making sure the stations and everything were set up.
But he was not feeling well.
A little bit of like a headache. Didn't feel like a normal type flu type symptoms. It was more like in the chest, like a chest cold type thing. So I knew I was sick, but I wasn't sure with what.
His dad, Albert Lever Sr., works at the cafeteria as well, and he didn't make too much of this.
And I thought he was dehydrated or had maybe a touch of the flu. He didn't look very well. So I gave him an Alka-Seltzer and I sent him on his way, thinking that he had a, you know, upset stomach or something common. I wasn't expecting that, of course.
That was about to happen. But around 11 o'clock on that July morning, Albert had no clue what was in store for him. All he could think about was how terrible he felt.
The whole ride, I was just trying to keep my head up, kind of, just keep my eyes open. I felt somewhat awake.
As he was driving up Broad Street toward his home in Elkins Park, he was getting worse.
This is when I really started to feel pretty awful. I don't remember actually too much of it. I was probably in and out.
Then, at an intersection very close to Einstein Hospital, it happened.
This is basically the drift through this green light, and then I guess everyone stopped for the red light up there. I was probably trailing the car in front of me by, like, I'd say 30 feet. And then, fainted, lost consciousness.
And boom. He hit a car stopped at a red light, and that car was driven by undercover cops. They thought Albert was wasted.
They were like, what are we taking? What's going on here? Why are you driving in the back of my car? And then I had no answers for him. I was just like, I had an Alka-Seltzer. I didn't have anything else. I don't know what's going on here.
The officers told Albert to call his mom, Anita Lever, so that she could get his car. She's a nurse at Einstein.
First of all, I'm a night shift nurse, so I had just gotten home from work and I'd just gotten to bed and I got the phone call. Mom, I was in an accident outside of Einstein, right outside of Einstein. I'm okay. Can you come down here? So I tried to ask him a couple other questions, and he just hung up.
Anita was worried, but not prepared for what she found when she arrived at the accident scene.
They had him in the back of the car, and they had his hands cuffed behind his back, and he was sweating profusely, and he was really pale, even though he had a tan.
She also noticed his pupils were dilated.
So, like, I grabbed his wrist and his heart was beating out of his chest. And I said, well, what happened? What happened? He says, I don't know. I passed out of the wheel of the car. And I said to the officers, how come he's not in the emergency room? And they said, you can pick him up down at 8th Street, ma'am. I turned around to the cop then and I said, what do you mean 8th Street, pick him up at 8th Street? What if he has a seizure? What if he has a heart attack? What if he goes into a coma on the way down? Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for that? I started getting in the cop's face a little bit, and that was when they brought him in. And I said to him, I whispered in his ear, is there any chance that it could be DUI? He's like, I had Alka-Seltzer this morning. I said, no, that won't be it.
Anita's mom instincts were crucial in saving Albert's life. He was taken to the ER at Einstein, still in cuffs.
I was coming in for a noon to midnight shift, and he was one of my very first patients that I saw. He was right over here in the hallway, handcuffed to a stretcher in police custody.
And what did you think?
Medical clearance and go to jail.
But when ER Dr. Ann Klimke examined Albert, things didn't quite add up.
Yeah, the more I talked to him and the more perplexed he seemed about everything that had occurred, it just didn't fit together.
Ann Klimke admitted Albert to the hospital for more tests. He was still handcuffed, a police officer by his side at all times, and over the course of the next few days, he got test after test for his heart. Doctors noticed some abnormalities, but they just couldn't figure out what was going on. Eventually, they called in Sumeet Managhi. He's an expert on the pace of the heartbeat.
We sort of go around the hospital and introduce ourselves as electricians or plumbers. You know, that's kind of our field. So the heart is an electrical organ, and it's driven by the same type of electricity that you see in your walls.
Sumit Menaghi said the thing that put him on high alert was the way Albert's accident happened. People pass out because they can't stand the sight of blood or because their blood sugar drops way down.
But it's very unusual for somebody, especially a young, healthy person, to pass out behind the wheel while driving. You know, that's a big red flag.
So he looked more closely at an ultrasound of Albert's heart, which had already been ruled normal by other physicians.
And when we looked at it very carefully, there was a suggestion actually that his right lower chamber of his heart, the right ventricle, was actually a bit dilated. It was larger than it should be.
Now Albert needed another test. And for this one, doctors had to stop his heart. His mom Anita was not happy about that.
Oh my God, you're going to stop my kid's heart? But it was to find out whether how easily this could happen.
Sort of like a catheterization procedure where we come up through a vein in the leg and stimulate the heart to try to look for dangerous heart rhythms.
This finally solved the mystery.
The diagnosis is a condition called arrhythmogenic right ventricular dysplasia. And it essentially is a genetic condition that over the course of someone's life, usually in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, areas of the heart muscle start to get replaced by fat and by connective tissue, by scar, essentially. And it can cause life-threatening arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats that can cause a person to pass out and ultimately could even cause a person to pass away.
It's a very rare condition. And the thing is, just like in Albert's case, there's usually no symptoms until it's too late.
Sometimes the very first time you have an event is the last time you have an event.
This condition can kill young, fit athletes on the basketball court in the middle of a game. It rips people from their lives without warning. To prevent that from happening, Albert had to get a defibrillator put into his chest.
Where is it?
Yeah, right on my, right underneath my shoulder here.
Oh, can you feel it?
Yep. Well, just add a little, go ahead. Touch. Oh, let me flex real quick. No, but yeah, I mean, it's a little bit noticeable in tight shirts, I guess, but outside of that, I mean, it's not too bad.
We put it just underneath in a pocket underneath the skin.
Sumit Menaghi wasn't done, though. Since the condition can be genetic, he tested Albert's entire family, and it turned out his younger brother also needed the device. With a defibrillator, their prognosis is quite good, even though there is a chance they might need heart transplants at some point in the future. And that accident on Broad Street, Sumit Menaghi thinks without it, Albert would have likely died that day.
And it could have been something as simple as the jolt of the car and his chest maybe against the steering wheel or something that actually knocked him out of his dangerous heart rhythm and saved his life, actually.
Albert Lever says getting a new lease on life makes up for the fact that he had to get a lawyer and spend about $1,000 to get his DUI charge dismissed.